South Australia is opening up and it's a beautiful thing. The Art Gallery is one of those places that closed its doors during the height of the COVID-19 pandemic and is now open for business. They're not only open, but they're bigger and better than ever with lots going on. Actually, two exhibitions will be coming to town in July and August. Rana Devenport is the director of the Art Gallery of South Australia and she joins me now. Rana, thank you for your time. It would have been a good day when you flipped the closed to open door sign.
Yes, indeed. That was the 5th of June and it was very neat, actually. It was 10 weeks of temporary closure. So it's been really marvellous to be able to be, again, accessible to our public and we're receiving between about 700 and 1,000 people a day, so which is steady. You know, it's not overwhelming, and that's a good thing because we can manage to ensure that people are safe.
Have you ever been closed for that long in the art gallery's history? No,
never. We did. That's exactly the question I wondered, and so we had a historian do a bit of research, and even during both wars and even during the time of the Spanish flu, the epidemic back in the early 1900s, on both occasions, there was no closure. So very interesting that this is, as that much overused word, unprecedented, but it was a whole new experience for us, and we had to think about a lot of things, you know, obviously the safety of our staff, the safety of our audiences, and also the safety of the collection, because you can't just walk away for 10 weeks, you know. It was a very complex process as to how to ensure the safety of the collection as well.
Well, that is an interesting question, because you can't just lock the door and walk away. How did you all keep it in one piece? Did you have to pack up some of the pieces and put them in storage? What happened?
Yes, that's exactly right. So firstly, we were in a better position than a lot of the other state art museums in that a small staff could remain on site, of course, working very carefully. And so it meant that that group of people, primarily our art handlers and registrars, were able to remove some delicate works from display and also cloaking various works, so that covering works so that they wouldn't be dust, there wouldn't be dust accumulating. Mm. We also thought about the collection off-site, and of course primarily our storage is off-site, and thinking about particular works that we believe would be better to be brought back into the building. And so there was a lot of work that went down, and also of course back of house, you know, this was an opportunity to do some really very important and much needed back of house sorting and cleaning and a whole range of things. So the team were very busy, and of course the rest of us were working from home, and for many people, you know, they haven't had any time off. So there was a lot to do, but we've got a fantastic team, and so we used it as an opportunity to achieve what we hadn't been able to do before.
And, Rana, sometimes you don't realise what you've got until it's gone. So now that your doors are open, yes, how much have people missed you?
Well, it's been wonderful, actually. There's people stop me as I'm walking around, and you know, there's a lot of enjoyment, I think, for people to be back amongst the art, back amongst the ideas. And I think we've had about 25,000 people through since we've reopened, and so that's a wonderful reflection. And I know the museum has had a very strong visitation as well. So it's a wonderful reflection on how necessary it's the gallery is in people's lives here in Adelaide.
One of the things that really stuck out to me, I was talking to the CEO of the zoo, and she said, you don't realise the impact you have on people's lives. We've got a couple of people with special needs that it's part of their daily routine or weekly routine to come to the zoo because it's actually therapeutic for them. Have you had that kind of feedback, that it may not be special needs, but people need the art gallery in their lives?
Yes, we actually run a very important program working with people with Alzheimer's, and it's a really wonderful and important safe place for a number of people to have that sense of community and also to share in a supportive environment where their needs are attended to. And we were able to launch during temporary closure, actually, our significantly increased facility online for people with special needs, both hearing and sight impaired. So we have a dedicated staff member here who sign language is her first language. She's a hearing person, but sign language is her first language. And so she's really extraordinary in how she thinks about audiences. And this is such an important aspect, you know, of what art museums, how they contribute to society.
Absolutely. No, I find that really fascinating and beautiful. What changes were you able to make around the gallery during COVID-19?
Sure. As I've said, you know, a tremendous amount of back of house sorting, and also quite a number of changes. As I said, some works coming back from storage and rehanging aspects of the Elder Wing and Melrose, and also, like all our cultural organisations, pivoting towards the digital and really enhancing what we could offer online. And we had, it was particularly interesting with our NEO teen program. We'd have about 400 teens physically present. And in this case online, we had over 1,000 from across the whole country. And also our Aboriginal Torres Strait Islander Art in the Classroom workshops for teachers. Again, we would normally have 50 or so, but we had over 100 because it was available online. So this has been quite a discovery for us, that what we are offering, particularly in the public programs side of things, has an audience across the whole of Australia. And of course, we really focused on the Biennial of Sydney, not the Biennial of Sydney, which we love, actually. And that's I did
the
work
Adelaide
for the Biennial of Sydney. I know, that's hilarious. I worked for the Biennale of Sydney, which was a great experience. And, of course, it's on simultaneously in Sydney.
Yes.
So the Adelaide Biennial of Australian Art, we've produced over 26 short videos, which are really tremendous. So people, it's going to be the best documented Adelaide Biennial in the history of all time, I think, because we've been able to interview the artists and interview the curator and other commentators, as well as being able to offer walkthroughs. And of course, the incredible Stellark had his wish come true, and his work was available 24/7 online, which was his robotic stick man, was 8-meter robotic stick man, was available and accessible and controllable online throughout the whole period of our temporary closure. So it's not something that we thought we would actually be able to achieve, but as it turned out, Stellark had his wish, and this was a constant reminder. It was almost the ghost in the machine that was absolutely present throughout the whole duration.
You just touched then on the 2020 Adelaide Biennial of Australian Art.
Yes.
And it's done by Monster Theatres. Can you tell me about that partnership?
Well, no, that's the title of the show, mm-hmm. And so that was conceived of by Lee Robb. So she's she's our curator here of contemporary art, and it's a marvelous challenge for any curator to curate a biennial, and she conceived of this excellent title and thematic, where she was exploring both the notion of the monster, which, you know, thinking about the foreign, the strange, the unfamiliar, and the idea of theatre, thinking about spectacle and display and narrative, and combining these two things, I think, was extremely clever, and what turned out to be incredibly prescient with a number of the works that relied on one-to-one encounter, and a number of the works were exploring ideas of solitude and community engagement. So it was one of those topics that actually became incredibly timely. And of course, the great artists of our time are always the ones who are foreseeing the future and are turning a mirror and a reflector on our times. And many of the artists in this exhibition were able to achieve just that.
What are some of the highlights of Monster Theatres, and have you had audience respond well to the exhibition?
Yeah, I mean, the critical response has been really tremendous, which it's and given it was only on display for a month before our temporary closure, it was wonderful to see that enthusiasm. And interestingly, one work in particular, well, two in particular, one outside the gallery, there's a number of very flamboyant banners by Mikala Dwyer, Melbourne artist. And as you enter the gallery in the vestibule, the title of the work is called Bay of Sick. And it was she's very interested in the notions of healing and metaphysics and different aspects of the paranormal, and in particular, the idea of well-being. And here it was, these sort of two almost hospital beds under warm, healing lights as you enter the gallery. I mean, it's also a very playful and joyous work, not at all macabre. So in many ways, Mikala was really thinking about this idea of well-being, not knowing for a second what would be happening only a month after the exhibition opened. And another work I think that has been really poignant is a work by seventh-generation Muslim artist called Abdul Abdullah. And he created a wonderfully lifelike replica of himself, seated in track gear in what looks like an empty theatre. And there's an empty stage, there's a spotlight, there's actually an open mic, it's a live mic. But when you turn around and look closely at this figure, he actually has the face of a Yunnan monkey, a rare monkey that is nearing extinction. Yeah. So this whole notion of what is familiar, what is foreign, what is solitude, what is a communal space were all aspects that were explored in this work, and it became quite emblematic of everything that the exhibition Monster Theatres and everything that was going on and, of course, is still going on for many people in the world and particularly in Victoria right now.
We're talking to Rana Devenport, Director of the South Australian Art Gallery. We're going to take a very short break, and afterwards Rana's going to tell us of two fantastic exhibitions that are on their way to the South Australian Art Gallery.
Port Adelaide Royalty.
Treadway with the leap.
He's done it!
Warren Treadway joins the 5AA Sports Show. Fridays from 5. Concrete, bricks, timber, steel, soil, mattresses and tyres. Keep them out of landfill. Google Eco Waste Solutions, Williston.
Want the biggest brands at the lowest prices? Then head to Chemist Warehouse today and save on big brands like Telfast 180 milligram 70 tablets, just $29.99, or Mycinophen 12 tablets for only $3.99. Get Codral Day and Night Cold and Flu 48 tablets for $12.99, and Vicks VapoRub Vaporizing Ointment 100 gram now just $7.99. For great savings every day, come home to Chemist Warehouse.
Right now, it's all happening at North Point Toyota. Awaken your unbreakable, because there's a brand new Hilux with more power and a new design about to arrive. Plus, loads of RAV4 hybrids will be back in stock soon. Make sure you ask your accountant about how to take advantage of the government's continued instant tax write-off. It's all happening at North Point Toyota. Creating memorable experiences, it's the North Point way. North Point Toyota, Hillcrest Prospect, Port Augusta, northpointtoyota.com.au.
Have you ever thought that independent living at Avista Glenelg could mean an envious lifestyle in one of Adelaide's most sought-after locations, with Glenelg Beach and Jetty Road just moments away? Avista Glenelg offers premium 1, 2 or 3-bedroom apartments for over 55s with countless beachside amenities, cafes, restaurants and many shops right at your doorstep. Avista Glenelg offers you a carefree lifestyle in a location like no other. To find out more, including seeking bespoke financial support options tailored to your needs? Call today and they'll make it easier than ever to live the independent lifestyle of your dreams from just $399,900 upfront. Tailored financial options include defer ongoing contributions, which allows you to live your lifestyle for less right now. This is a limited time offer on selected properties only. Don't miss out. Call 1300 796 311. That's 1300 796 311 to arrange an inspection or visit avistaglenelg.com.au.
So, Dad, Mum said you got onto internet banking.
Yes, why?
Well, you swore you'd never.
No, I didn't. Never said never.
You did. You said it's not safe, takes too long, it's all too hard.
No, I didn't.
You did. What changed?
Well, it's very safe, very easy. Fast.
Oh, I've been saying that for 15 years.
Well, now you can stop.
Let the bank come to you with NAB Internet Banking. It's safe, fast and easy. NAB. More than money. Internet banking terms and conditions apply. See nab.com.au.
At Apia, we're all about possibilities. And while not everything is possible at the moment, you can double up and save with Apia's comprehensive insurance. Simply buy new eligible home and car insurance together before July 31 and save 20% off the second policy. Our dedicated specialists are ready to help. Call 13 50 50 or visit apia.com.au. Terms and conditions apply. Apia is an authorised representative of AAI Limited, the product issuer. Before buying this insurance, read the PDS and consider whether it's right for you. Contact us for a copy.
If you're craving the taste of your favourites, head to Macca's for a fast, safe and contactless drive-through experience. For your Macca's run, contact-free, we'll be here.
Have you or a loved one been touched by the devastating effects of dementia? Are you on the journey right now? Infinite Aged Care presents a free three-session webinar series, Navigating Dementia, Survival Secrets of a Long-Term Carer. The first session is this Tuesday at 5 p.m. Join author and long-term carer Carolyn Cranwell and the Infinite Care team as we discuss the carer's experience and strategies to cope with daily life as an at-home carer. To register, go to infinitecare.com.au/events.
Scraped your caravan? Walker Crash Repairs, an RAA-approved caravan crash repairer. This is Jade Robran.
It's 9 minutes to 2 o'clock, and coming up after 2 o'clock, we've got Dr. Derek McNair from Parade Nord Veterinary Clinic joining us to answer all your pet questions. So if you've got any, it's time to give us a call, 8223 0000, or send Josh through an email on air at 5AA.com.au. But right now we're talking to Rana Devonport, the director of the Adelaide Art Gallery in South Australia here. Beautiful art gallery. I think it is one of the best in the country, probably being biased.
We all are.
It's opened its doors and you've been received so warmly by everybody, around 1,000 people through the doors daily. You touched on the unexpected online success during COVID lockdown. What other experiences are available online?
Great question. During our temporary closure, another 3,000 works were added to our online collection, which so about 13,000 works are now available. So our audiences are very welcome to explore that extraordinary collection. And also our studio was available online with over 90 at-home art activities being made available. It's now open to the public, which is really wonderful. But all of those projects that we made available are still online, which is really terrific. And of course, First Friday is our first Friday, which will be the launch for our Sala exhibitions that I'll be talking about in a moment, will be launched online, exactly, it'll probably be a month or so before we will be tentatively moving to in IRL, as they say, in real life events, but keeping our staff and our audiences safe is of primary concern. One of the things too that we were really thrilled to be able to announce last week was the acquisition of a very rare 19th century garner shield, Mulabaka, from as I said, over 100 years old, wow. Made by the Kaurna people of the Adelaide Plains. And there's only seven of those that exist in the world. So this is a really important piece that will go on permanent display and will welcome any and all visitors to the gallery. So it's a really tremendous acquisition of a major piece. So yes. That was wonderful to announce that finally in tandem. Well, it was actually the Minister Paul Fletcher actually made the announcement, because considerable funding came through the National Cultural Heritage Fund as well as through Tarnandi and BHP. So marvellous generosity to be able to secure that work for the collection.
How do you find a piece like that?
Well, this was very interesting, because it was a private collector here, Joost and Truus Daalder, who had already gifted an extraordinary collection of jewellery to the gallery, and they also have got a marvellous collection of artefacts and ethnic material. And so we knew about this work, and of course, it's anything of this nature requires a very extensive research and literally centimetres and centimetres of paper. Mm. And we undertook worked with two tremendous researchers, an Aboriginal and a non-Aboriginal person, who both did extensive research into the history of this piece. So there's a lot of research, you know. Curators are historians and explore histories and trajectories of what we call provenance, or who owned the work and how did it come into collections. All of these aspects are very important.
There's always so much happening at the Art Gallery of South Australia. Can you tell me about the exhibition that's opening this week?
Sure. We've got five exhibitions. There is the Sala exhibition series, which opens very soon as part of Sala. Mm-hmm. And that's, of course, the South Australia Living Arts Festival, which opens on the 1st of August. And in that project, there are four artists. So Kirsten Kohler, who is a marvellous ceramic artist working with utilitarian objects in porcelain, and a much admired and revered artist across the whole country. And she's responded to Russell Drysdale's work, actually. And she has also been the feature artist with Sala this year, and her Wakefield Press monograph will be able to be purchased. Also, as part of Sala will be Margaret Dodd, who was a really tremendous and highly influential artist that in the 70s, her series called This Woman Is Not a Car is absolutely hilarious and yet very critical and important at its time as a period of cultural revolution and feminist awareness. So she takes the iconic Holden car and dresses it as babies and mothers and brides and created a film as well. So we acquired this really important series and the ceramic cars and the photographs from the film, and the film itself will be presented in the gallery space, in its own exhibition space. And also Tom Moore. Tom is a marvellous glass artist who works with fantastical glass creatures, and he has actually selected over 100 pieces from our collection of various animalia and creatures, and he is presenting that marvellous history and the ancient craft of glass blowing and ceramic with these extraordinary eccentric characters and objects, and he's looking with great humour and hope into the collection and juxtaposing his works that have been acquired for the collection. And then finally, Troy Anthony Bayliss, and this is a new fellowship that's funded by the James and Diana Ramsey Foundation through Guildhouse, and he received the inaugural Guildhouse Fellowship, and his work will be shown in the vestibule. And in his case, he's actually done extraordinary investigation, and artists too, not just curators, but artists are very much historians in their own right. And here he's researched the Nomenclature Act of 1917, which actually took German place names and anglicised them. This happened throughout the whole country, but in South Australia, they were reverted back to their German names in 1935. Troy Anthony Bayliss is Aboriginal from the Jawoyn people of Northern Territory, and so he adds a further layer of looking not only at the anglicised and German names, but also the Aboriginal place names in Kaurna language, as he's literally woven these texts and considerations of site in these really extraordinary and very vivid hanging sculptural forms. So it's a really lively four artists exhibition program with Sala. And then finally we have Samurai, which is all from our collection, some loans, but primarily from our collection. And it's very much a story of generosity and patronage, because the Japanese collection started in 1904 with the donation of various works from patron, and so that has continued through to the present day, and of course the very spectacular a samurai armour is on display, which is a magnificent piece. So thinking about this global phenomenon of samurai, but it covers textiles and lacquer and ceramics and metalwork, screens, scrolls, prints and swords.
Sounds absolutely
it's a very beautiful exhibition.
Sounds spectacular. And that opens this Friday the 24th with over 100 works. Rana Devonport, thank you very much for your time. Always lots happening at the Art Gallery. We're going to take a very short break, head into the newsroom coming up afterwards.